Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writingexcuses.
Season 17,
Episode 7.
This is Writing Excuses, Dissecting Influence.
15 minutes long.
Because you're in a hurry.
And we're not that smart.
I'm Howard.
I'm Kayla.
I'm Sandra.
And I'm Meg.
And this episode was pitched to us by one of our guest hosts, Megan Lloyd. Megan, take it away. What are we talking about?
Today, we are talking about dissecting influence, which is how do you learn from the things that inspire you? You've seen the masters of their craft create masterpieces. You want to make one of your own. What are some tips and tricks to studying how other people do the thing?
Part of the problem is that I don't get to see them make the thing. I get to see the thing.
This is true.
You know, it's. I mentioned this in the expectations intensive. I talk about the Dirk Gently TV show. I don't know what that writer's room looked like. I don't know what the outline looked like, but it is incredibly influential to me because of the way all of the things connect. I want to be able to build that, but I don't get to watch it being built. So how do I learn? Tell me, Meg, how do I learn from it?
So you've got to take the thing and you literally have to
cut it open and
take all the little pieces out, and you have to break it down into little bits and find out, okay, why do I like this as much as I do? And while you can't see them make the thing, you may have to reverse engineer it a bit yourself, because I believe how they would make it and how you would make it would be very different, but you're coming to the same purpose. So I come at this, I'm both a writer and an artist working in the animation industry. And so a lot of the references, a lot of the work that I like to look at is other visual art. And so I look at something and be like, what do I love about this? Oh, I love the thin line art, or I love how they've depicted the light. And a lot of what I do is in my sketchbooks, I also write out lists of things I like and what do I need to do to practice doing this thing.
One thing that is coming to mind for me, back when I was coming back into being a creative person after a very fallow period, I kind of stopped writing when my kids were little for about 9 or 10 years because I was full bore mothering instead of being a writer. And as I was coming back to creativity, I discovered a hunger for visual inspirations, which was exactly when Pinterest first launched. And so I was doing Pinterest boards. They've reconfigured now and Pinterest no longer works for me in the same way. But I was just collecting images. I was just listening. I like this. I like this. I like this. And the fascinating thing about having it collected all into one space is that then I could suddenly see patterns. I could see that so many of the images I liked had an implied journey in them, a boat about to launch, a path through a wood. And I realized, oh, wow, here I am, trying to launch a creative career, and I'm being drawn to images with an implied journey. And you can pull the same thing with, if you take a look and say, well, I love this show, and I love this show, and I love this show. What do these shows have in common? And one of the things that I discover I really love is a sense of camaraderie and found family. And so you can discover what are the themes that call to you. And then once you know what that helps you begin to decipher, why do I like this thing? What is it that draws to me? And then how can I then make sure I pull those themes into my own work?
Yeah, I think that's a aggregation of themes is really helpful. I know that I definitely use that as my compass when I'm looking like about when I want to make stuff. It's like first gut instinct. Oh my gosh, I love this. It resonates with me. How does it work? And sometimes I think that like being outside of the writer's room and things like that can be a benefit in that way, because if you're with the person, sometimes there's a certain level where you need someone like a mentor, or you need mentor texts or things like that. But there is there's a point where it's not helpful because you just do what they say without knowing why, without knowing how it connects. You're just following instructions versus like opening the guts of something and like rummaging inside and being like, ah, I see. So this connects to this, which makes this happen. Like with characterization, looking at or with world building, like again, Avatar: The Last Airbender, I will always bring it up because I love it. One of my favorite things is Katara bloodbending. That was such a genius extension of how the world worked. And it resonated with me so powerfully because it did the thing that I love. And I dissected it and was like, what is it that, why do I love Katara bloodbending so much? And I realized because it was going a step deeper, answering questions they hadn't answered before about how waterbending works. Like, yeah, there's water in blood. We've seen Katara bend her own sweat before. We've seen her bend the water out of a cloud. And like, how does that apply? And it's not that we didn't talk about it before, like the medium was hiding it or anything. It's that we hadn't gone into it. No one had asked that question before in the world at that point. That's why I learned like going deeper with your magic system can be very satisfying, especially to people who have been following something and become fans of it, where they've started to ask themselves questions like that. It's like addressing what people might want to write fan fiction about. And you're like, yeah, that exists. That's right. Aren't you excited? And you're like, oh my goodness, I am.
I can't remember, is Toph's metal bending before the blood bending or after? Because it's like one, they fold into it. It's like, again, both going deeper. Well, if Toph can metal bend, then Katara can blood bend. And yes. So you've set things up.
It's before, because that's Toph. That's the culmination of her storyline in the Earth book. Because, mm-hmm. You know, we've got
right.
Water, Earth, and Fire. And then Katara learns from a displaced Water Tribe woman in the Fire Nation.
Yep. Yeah. But again, it's going deeper both times. I love it.
Well, and the salient point here is not that world building by extrapolation, extension, logical conclusion is how you should world build. The salient point here is that is a thing that you loved about Avatar. And so now that you know you love it, you can pick that influence apart and you can see how you want to apply that principle into your own work.
Yes. And it's in fact something that inspired that principle of being able to go deeper like that, that I pulled out of Avatar: The Last Airbender, is something I'm using in the sequel to CC, Rios of the Desert of Souls.
Cool.
So great application.
Yes.
And to jump ahead into how do you implement this in your own work with the same level of love and interest that you take something that you love that inspires you and being able to break it down. What do I like about it? You know, what do I not care for? Being able to approach your own work from a, I don't want to say scholarly or clinical, because obviously we love what we do, but being able to search your own work for places it could improve without knocking yourself down as you do it. So instead of critiquing your own work, but just trying to go through and like plus and improve your own work. So always approach your self-corrections with a generous heart.
Yeah, I think it's very, very easy because the world teaches us that we should be humble and we should not, you know, toot our own horn or whatever. It's very easy to approach your own work and like apologize for it as you're talking about it. And I instead love it when I see creators who are just like super excited. And fanfic writers tend to be really, really good about this because they're really, really super excited about this cool thing. And they just let themselves be excited. And so if you can carry that from your inspirations, you're talking about, you're inspired by this thing, because it excites you or it makes you cry or whatever. And if you let yourself have those same emotions about your own work, you know, that's a beautiful way of carrying the influences and expressing them again.
Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons why I like to use the simile of, you know, dissection and study is the goal is not to plagiarize someone. The goal is not to trace someone's art to learn how to draw or retype someone's book to learn how to write. But it's to find the familial similarities between what you love and what you do, and trying to put the creative juice in your brain to think up new ways to implement your own skills.
Yeah. It's like you said, reverse engineering to figure out the principles that they use that you can then use. You know, like if you know it's so you figure out the rules on a very personal level of how and why something works so that you can use it to your advantage.
And I think if coming back to the world building example, I think that's why this is so important, because we've talked about extrapolation and world building on Writing Excuses before. Okay. Mm-hmm. That is a principle that you can lift out of Writing Excuses and probably any number of books on writing and world building and whatever else. But if you dissect the things that have influenced you and you find that as a thing you love, now that's a principle you own, not just mm-hmm. something somebody has written down for you.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Making your mental health a priority is always a challenge. And I think it's easy to not prioritize it, especially when you're trying to figure out how to write a book. I think we have some deep cultural idea that artists should be tortured and depressed to make their best work. But in my experience, struggling to find clarity and motivation will hurt your process a lot more than help it. In my own life, therapy has been essential to figuring out how to navigate an industry seemingly designed to give all of us anxiety. Being able to talk to an expert can help you set better boundaries, find a balance between the demands of your work and your art, and navigate the complexities of being a published writer. That said, finding a therapist is never easy, especially if you're not in a major city like I am. That's where a service like BetterHelp can be of use to help you start the process while you figure out what your needs are for your mental health journey. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/WX today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, .com/WX.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's have a thing of the week. What's our thing of the week?
I'm suggesting the thing of the week this week, which is one of my favorite things. It is the YouTube account Hobbes Sakuga, which will be in the liner notes, but I'll spell it out here. HobbesSakuga. And this YouTube channel is a collection of the very best cuts of hand-drawn animation compiled into category-specific videos. So like 20 minutes of just special effects hand-drawn animation or sword fighting animation or dramatic character acting. And usually when I'm stuck on a specific thing, I'll just sit and watch, well, how did 20 other of the world's greatest masters accomplish it? And it gets me, you know, gets the brain moving, the juice is flowing in it, and it helps me when I go back to my own drawing board.
Yeah, this is a thing that comes very, very naturally to like dancers or musicians. The idea that you just need to go through the motions over and over until you create a muscle memory. And you can do the same thing as a writer or artists get this too, because you have to draw things over and over. But writers, you can also create that in your own head. And so if you need to write a love scene, maybe go watch some love scenes to get your head into that space. Pull that feeling from your inspiration so that you can then feed it into your own work. And that sometimes creates an anxiety to influence, like, oh no, I'm copying. But that's where you trust your own voice, because every dancer can tell you that even though you're practicing over and over and over the steps the choreographer gave you, each performance becomes different and it becomes your own as you do the dance.
Well, it's like the difference between strawberries and jam, right? Like, yeah, you're watching strawberries, you know, but you can turn it into jam. You turn it into something else by boiling over it, by stewing over it, by making it into something new. Right. Now it still tastes like strawberries. You know, it's still romance.
Yep.
But it has turned into something new because you have delivered it in a new way. But you've done it thoughtfully by having boiled on it and stewed on it. Strange metaphor, but it's the first thing I thought of.
It's strange.
Now I want strawberry jam. How do we deal with anxiety of influence in light of this? Because I know there have been times when I was worried I would not watch something because I would worry. I worried that it would influence me, and you know, I'd find something in it that I'd like, and that thing would just flat out end up in my own work. How do we avoid that?
For me, go adjacent. You know, if you are writing an action scene and you're worried that if you watch Kung Fu movies, you will port it directly across, is there some other way that action is expressed where you can get into an action headspace without being so directly? My example is not
working. Let me state the problem differently. I didn't watch Firefly on TV because I felt like it was too much like what I was already doing, and therefore I just wasn't allowed to watch it. It would influence me. Same with Cowboy Bebop. People kept telling me, oh, you should watch this. I know you'd love it because Schlock Mercenary is so cool. I'm like, I don't want to love it. It will unduly influence me. Go away. Stop telling me about cool stuff that is similar to what I'm doing. And so the question is, how do I avoid that? How do I get to have Firefly and Cowboy Bebop in my life?
So I have a little mantra that I tell myself, and it's no one can do me like me. Where even though there may be similar elements, when you see the work as a whole with the different theming, the different staging, like Sandra says, going adjacent, that, you know, we write for a world that loves what we write. You know, oh, sorry, that wasn't phrased very well, but we're writing in our genres for genre savvy people. And so I think people may say, oh, another story about an orphaned wizard named Harry. I'm not even going to pick up the Dresden Files. I know this story. You can share elements with different things, but it's the whole of it that makes it your work.
Well, and also, if you're writing, for example, space opera, and the only other you only consume one other space opera, the risk of you porting visibly from one thing to another. But if you have filled your head with 10 or 20 or 30 space operas and then let them all settle before you sit to write, they turn into a stew. And the likelihood that you will steal specific bits becomes less, you know, because Howard, your head was full of space opera already. It's just, you didn't want to refresh specifically. I don't know. And I don't think you're necessarily wrong for deciding to avoid those things at that time.
Listen, I was a much happier person with Firefly when it got canceled before I'd even started it.
Yeah. But I mean, it's listen to your instincts, because if your instinct says that's not the thing for me to be watching right now, maybe it isn't.
Yeah.
I would say that I am not careful about that at all. I'm not careful about any of those things at all, mostly because I love doing my own riff on things, like, purposefully. But I will say that when I was younger and when I was starting out, I avoided it more because I knew I was more impressionable, because I didn't have a strong sense of my own voice or how I wanted to do a thing. So then
I would make sure I wasn't writing something at the same time as reading something like it or watching something like it. I'd still read and watch all of those things, but I'd make sure it wasn't at the same time because I was very impressionable.
Oh yeah. That's something I want to piggyback off of is when I'm doing a specific project, I'll do all my research ahead of time. So I'll read two or three similar books before I write, you know, one of my novels, or I'll watch a few similar movies before I start boarding a specific scene. And that once I do my initial research, unless I'm completely up against a wall and I don't know what else to do, I'll eat jam on toast instead of going to pick more strawberries from that point on out.
Yeah.
Now I want toast too. You keep a little worse.
Oh, food no. is the best metaphor.
Yes, it is.
It's working quite well. Hey, we're 18 and a half minutes in here. Is it time for homework, Meg?
It's time for homework. And I bet if you've been listening to our episode, you might have a pretty good idea of what I'm going to ask you to do. For homework this week, take a slice of something that inspires you. Books, movies, art, and break down a list of the specific elements you find appealing.
A slice of something, and of course it's toast. Toast with jam. Thank you, everybody. This has been Writing Excuses. You are out of excuses. Now go write. Writing Excuses is a Dragonsteel production. Your hosts for this episode were Howard Taylor, Kayla Rivera, Sandra Taylor, and Megan Lloyd. This episode was engineered by Marshall Carr Jr. and mastered by Alex Jackson. The liner notes and transcripts for this episode are available at writingexcuses.com. To learn more about us, visit patreon.com/writingexcuses.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.